So I might just begin the night. My name's Roz, and I'm here at this church as a women's ministry person. So I might just pray for us as we get started. So please come take a seat and we'll pray together. Dear God, we do just want to thank you tonight for this opportunity to gather together in your name. Lord, we thank you for Letitia and her team that have come down from Toowoomba tonight. We just pray for their safety as they travel back later on. And most importantly, we pray for their ministry work that's going on. Lord, we thank you for the lives that they're touching, for the girls who are finding hope in you. Lord, we thank you that because of what Jesus has done, you take us from being selfish, self-centered people to people who are equipped with your love and strength to love and serve others. Lord, we just ask that tonight you might inspire us and, Lord, just help us to see where you'd have us work for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as I was driving home today at 5 o'clock or so, I thought, I know a really good song I should play tonight. So I'm hoping it's going to work really well with no technical hitches, which we always seem to have. This song really, I think, sums up a lot of what Letitia will be talking to us about. It's a song by Casting Crowns called Just Another Birthday. And it tells the story of a hurting girl who, at three different birthdays in her life and what's happening in them, at her 16th birthday, she's desperately wanting for her dad to turn up to her party. At her 19th birthday, she's given herself away to her boyfriend, who then doesn't want anything to do with her, and she's pregnant. And then we see what happens by her 21st birthday. So it does have a happy ending, but you might need some tissues. Okay.
Teen finds me blowing out candles and making wishes, and all around me is everyone but the one I'm wishing for. But he sent me flowers and gift wrapped excuses from a daddy whose daughter wants to see him again. And I know it's just another birthday. But I guess I thought this would be the one when he would call me, see me, hold me and free me. But it's just another birthday. Finds me, and I'm wild-eyed and wide open. I gave myself away to love, but backseat promises fade like the mist. I'm screaming at the midnight air. Everyone hears me, but I don't care. My heart's clenched just like a fist, 'cause people, I didn't ask for any of this. And I know, it's just another word. But I guess I thought this would be the one when he would call me, see me, hold me and free me. But it's just another birthday. Father to the fatherless.
21 finds me blowing out candles and making wishes, and all around me my barefoot princess twirls and sings. It's so amazing looking back at all God's brought us through. You are my happy birthday, and you were born to break the chains. Now I know it's not just another birthday, 'cause I'm here, she's here, and look how far we've come since you called me, saw me, held me and freed me. Thank you, Lord, for another birthday. We'll be fine.
Jesus can put broken lives, broken hearts back together. I'd like to welcome Tish to come and talk to us tonight. There will be time at the end if you would like to ask her any questions. I think she's quite happy to do that.
How are you doing tonight? Yes, you're awake, alive, enthusiastic. Good. No one cried too much in that clip. It's good. Very touching. So it's great to be down here. We've come all the way. Have you ever heard of Toowoomba? Yes? Who's actually been to Toowoomba? How many people? Oh, fantastic. That's great. So you've all heard of Toowoomba. Cool. So, and also with me tonight in the back row, I've brought my rebels. what are you doing up in the back? My sister Janelle, wave. And then on the other side is Julia. And then we have Laura, who's actually over here visiting from the Philippines at the moment and just hanging out with me and having a look at what we're doing. So it's always nice to travel down with people. So it's their job to make sure I don't fall asleep going home. Very good. So did everyone get enough to eat as well? That's always very important. Nothing worse than listening to a speaker and being hungry. Yeah, my name's Letitia, and I guess tonight Roz has told me to come down and stir you all up. So if you don't like what I say, you just blame Roz tonight, okay? And it's always the good thing being the speaker, and you go home and might not see you again. But really appreciate you coming out, and I really just want to share a little bit about our journey of what God's been doing in Toowoomba for about the last 7 to 10 years, an amazing journey of just seeing women together from different churches working together to reach out into our community. And so I coordinate something called City Women, and started that 7 years ago. And City Women's an umbrella. I think we're up to 20 ministries now, 18 to 20 ministries that come under the City Women umbrella, where women from all different churches are working together to reach out to girls and women in our community to make Toowoomba a better place. Because if the church isn't making its community a better place, then what the heck are we doing? Really? Hey, and it's easy just to do church and do our nice things and, not have any effect upon our community at all. So I guess, you know, my heart and passion is really to see the church be the church and all that God's called it to be. Which is really cool. I just put our journey down on a book called Fighting for Our Daughters. I don't know where I put that down. But I've written our journey more in the book, which you can get afterwards. But just want to talk a little bit about that from tonight. So who are our daughters is always a good question to start off with when we're talking about this. And lovely ladies I was sitting with down there before said, we don't know about daughters because we've just had sons and grandsons. And I think that's the way our Western world thinks, is because we understand our own family, and I've got my daughters and that's your family and your family. But I lived in Fiji for a year where it's very much a community-based culture. And, everyone in the village gets to raise everyone's kids, and you get to smack each other's kids, which I always thought was a good idea as well. But they have a saying that it takes a village to raise a child, so it's not just left solely to the parents to raise that child. And but us in our Western world, all we know is the children that we've given birth to naturally. But when we ask who is our daughters, it's actually the girls who live in our city, the girls who share the same postcode as you, the girls who attend the schools in your area. They're actually our responsibility, believe it or not. As Christians, God places his people in a city, in an area, in a community to bring salt and light, and they're actually our responsibility. And that we can't, obviously, you know, there's a huge issues with, and I'm talking about girls, not even touching on the boys, huge issues. And if we think that the government's going to fix it all, we're joking ourselves. And so when I talk about the mess tonight, it's our responsibility. And it's so easy to think, somebody should do something about that. But guess who the somebody is? It's us. And so we only change what we're responsible for. So, you know, I'm out to convince you that the girls in your city are your responsibility. You might not have to look after them and do their washing and feeding, but you have the... No one else is going to tell them about Jesus. They're on the road to eternal damnation unless we stand up and take responsibility and say, no, these are our girls. We're going to fight for them. They are worth fighting for. And I went to school for 1 year in Fiji and was just blown away the other week when I caught up with a friend that I went to. That was many moons ago now. It's probably 20 years ago I was at school in Fiji. Wouldn't think I was that old, would you? But met up with one of my friends in New Zealand, would you believe, that I went to school with Fiji. And she told me that one of our classmates just died last month of cancer. And, you know, that was a huge thing. But and they sent an email out to all my classmates saying, hey, this girl, our classmate's died. She's got three daughters. Can we all commit to paying their school fees of these three daughters? That's community. That's taking responsibility. That's what community does, and it's very foreign for us here in the Western world because we just live in our own individual. But it's time that the church stands up and begins to take responsibility for the mess that we now have in society, because it's our responsibility that the world has gone the way it has. Because when there's an absence of light, darkness will prevail always. And so, who are our daughters? They're the girls who live in our street. And I don't know if anyone read that book. What was that Lioness book? Lioness Arising by Lisa Bevere. And she tells a story of her son who brought home a book from school, and it was, you know, quite edgy, I guess, had a lot of sexual references. And she thought, I'm going to ring up the school and, you know, see if I can get my son out of reading this book. And she did. She rang up, she made a complaint, and the school said, okay, that's fine. Don't you worry about your son having to read the book. And she got off the phone, and God said, well, what about all the other sons in that class? And so... she got back up on the phone and rang up, and I mean, you've got to go through another. How humiliating trying to do that, and it was a big hoo-ha and everything, but eventually she got that book taken off the shelf. So that's our role in a community, hey. Why do we need to fight for the daughters? Well, we're in a battle. We are in a battle. You don't believe me, do you? We in Toowoomba, we live in this beautiful, amazing city, but underneath it, the devil is sucking the life out of our girls and our boys. And I work very closely with chaplains in our school, and I just asked one of the chaplains that I work with, I said, can you just write down on a piece of paper what you see happening amongst girls in your school? And I'm sorry, this is hugely graphic what I'm going to read out to you. It's MA, but I want us to be aware of the reality of what is really going on and the battle that's going on and why we need to fight for our daughters. So I'm not reading it for shock, but I'm reading it just to say, hey, this is what's going on. So this chaplain, she said, I recently had a girl in my office that was not only depressed and confused about her sexuality, but she's cut herself 52 times across her stomach. That's one cut for every bad week of the year. Another girl that comes into my office has been sexually abused by her father, physically abused by her mother, and now lives by herself at the ripe age of 14. Her arms look like a well-worn and used cutting board. One of my A-plus students is struggling with all her grades. She's not sleeping. It turns out her boyfriend, who was kicked out of home, is living with her and her single mother. And when he comes home drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning, he wakes her up and gives her a flogging before dropping off to sleep. But she says he's really nice the next day. A lot of girls are not thinking about sex by grade 9. They've slept with so many guys, they've earned themselves the label of slut. By grade 10, they're pregnant or they've dropped out of school. They're on their phones, they're on Twitter, Facebook during school. The images that come up on their feeds are of girls shaven bare, being beaten by male genitals, They're not exposed to intimacy, but they're looking forward to being fingered and anticipating which boy will have the privilege of doing the deed. The images teach them that they have power. The truth is that they have earned a badge of no longer virgin. They slip into depression and emptiness and have no idea why. The girls in my school are vomiting in toilets at lunchtime, watching old men ejaculate on their mobile phones between classes and then slashing themselves before they come back and do it again the next day. We're in a battle. We're not in Lululand anymore. There's a battle going on for the life of the girls in our schools. And maybe your kids are in a Christian school and that's awesome, but it's still going to affect them as well. And somebody needs to stand up and begin to take responsibility for what's going on. In Toowoomba, you know, we have the highest chlamydia rate per head of population of any city in Australia, would you believe? We have drastically high domestic violence rate. 1 in 3 girls are sexually abused, and it'll be the same right down here where you live as well. The problems are the same all over the world. So we're in a huge battle, and that's why we need to fight for them, and they're our responsibility. So what's the battle that's raging over the girls of your city or your area? And it seems, I guess, when you look at these statistics, that we're a battle that is going backwards at a large rate of knots. When you read this, in a 10-year period between 1999 and 2009, notifications of abuse in our nation have risen from 103,000 to 339,000. It's a battle that we are losing fast. In 12 years, the number of kids in out-of-home care have doubled. We now have over 35,000 kids in our nation not living with their parents. And, you know, a lot of these times they take, they're hoping it's just going to be temporary, but because parents have so many issues and problems, they're just not getting their kids back in to live with their parents anymore. So, you know, imagine what's going to happen in the next 10 years. It's not really exciting news, is it? Don't worry, I'll end with positive, okay? I can all see you looking for the door. What did I come here for? Lady Melinda Tankard-Reese says, we now have the most insecure generation of girls to ever walk the face of the earth. Why would that be in a world, in an age where girls have more opportunity ever than before? I was just watching a documentary on Friday night about American situation with women in the 1800s. They couldn't vote, they couldn't go to college, they couldn't own land, they couldn't do anything. But now women have all these freedoms. Girls have their mobile phones, their hair straighteners, everything they ever need, and yet they're more depressed and insecure than ever. Why is this so, I guess? And I don't have all the answers, but after 12 years of closely working with teenage girls in Toowoomba, I guess I'd put it down to just three simple things. Firstly, the absence of the church in society. Our nation was built on godly foundations. Our nation, you know, the church at one point used to be the center of society. We built the hospitals, we built the community centers, we built everything. And now the church is at such a point where the society wants to get rid of them out of everything. We're no longer relevant. They don't want to know a bar of us, hey. And what's happened, I guess, I don't know, in the last 100 years, we've suddenly retreated inside our churches and we've determined that your church is more successful if you're a bigger church. Haven't we? And I was a youth pastor for 7 years, and I know when I went around and talked with other youth pastors, and they'd always ask, how many kids in your youth group? Like my success was determined on how many kids came to my youth group every week. And you know, I think a lot of what our church does is trying to get people to come into those doors. God never said come, he told us to go, didn't he? He told us to go. You know, I reckon the success of our church should be based on the impact we're having in the community and our obedience to Jesus Christ, which is go into all the world and make disciples. But we've just been having nice little Christian parties. Our church, I don't know about your church, but looks a little bit like our church. We're very white and middle class. We're very comfortable, you know, and it's very challenging. You know, I think we really need to be challenged on what is going on in our churches. Because really, ladies, is what we're doing working? Like, seriously. is what we're doing working? And, you know, I thought that was the definition to insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. But, you know, God's got something so greater for us. And I think we need a little bit of a shake-up in what we're doing, in the way we're doing things, and the results that we're expecting, and what God's actually caused us to do. So the absence of the church in society is huge. The breakdown of family, is absolutely detrimental to the life of a girl, obviously. We just saw in that clip. But once a father is removed out of a girl's life, that really has huge effects upon her. And we see that just with so many girls that we're working through. An absent father who's, you know, the family's broken up and he's no longer there. Or he is there, but he doesn't know how to relate to his daughter. Or, you know, he's drunk. Or, you know, one of our girls who's just desperate for love. Her dad is, he's on the pension, not doing very well, but he sits on the computer playing computer games all day. And she sees her dad and she so desires to have a dad who will love her. And she actually started sending nude pictures of herself to an old man on the internet because she just wanted love. I said, what did you do that for? I just wanted somebody to love me because dad's on the computer all day. And so the absence of fathers, and we just see so much anger in the girls' lives because there's no dad there. You know, the man is there to protect and to provide, and once he's taken out of the picture, the enemy just gets in any old which way, and he's destroying the life out of our girls. And because every girl wants to know, am I loved? Am I beautiful? And where does she end up? With Johnny. And we know what Johnny wants, hey? He's not there to show a girl how beautiful and lovely she is. So absence of family is huge. And then thirdly, the culture in which our girls live in now too is an absolute joke. And so just for a few minutes, I'm just going to take you just for a bit of a walk through our culture. A lot of it you might already know, but just, I guess, what is going on in girls' lives. And I don't know if any of you lately have read Cosmo. Anyone read this one? Bought it this week? No? You don't read Cosmo? Oh, good. Well, on the side of Cosmo, this says the world's number one selling magazine. Would you believe that 83% of girls in Australia are reading this magazine? So 83% of girls between the ages of 14 and 35 are reading Cosmo. It's their Bible. This is what is bringing up our generation. This is what is influencing not just Cosmo, but the media, movies, music, non-stop. But I'm just picking, because we don't have 7 hours, I'm just picking one part of the media that's influencing our girls. So 83% read this. So I thought, oh, I'm going to buy one of these magazines and see, you know, why is it so popular? And here are some of the stories that I got from this magazine. His most shocking sex confessions. 7 secret signs he'll be a god in bed. No longer a secret because they're in the world's number one selling magazine. Threesomes, they're back. That's just what we need all our 14-year-old girls to be reading about, isn't it? 100 crazy dirty sex questions. Cosmo's naughty sex checklist. And then this is my favourite. It's an advertisement. She left her bra at home that day, unfortunately, for the photo shoot. But anybody got any idea what this might be advertising? It's not an advertisement for Bunnings. Well, pedicures. So very close. So this is now how our society is now advertising pedicures, because we can't do it normally. We've got to make the girl look like a prostitute and a slut, because sex sells. That's the whole thing. And then also, I thought I'd just kind of picked up, you know, the sex special of the month, Cosmo. So I thought, oh, next month I'm going to buy, you know, and see if it's just as bad. And for a whole year I bought Cosmo, and total crap, total trash. And you know, 1 year ago in Toowoomba, we had a tsunami, which they're calling an inland tsunami, that swept through our town and was very devastating and lives lost. And it was amazing to see the community's reaction and the way the churches joined together. But, you know, I'm like, hey, we've got a tsunami of filth that is sweeping the lives of our young people in our city day after day after day. And we are just, you know, sitting back and doing nothing about that. So 83% of our nation's girls are reading this. So also in Cosmos, a lot of fashion, which is very important to a girl and how she looks. I love this one here, the Saturday Night Lashes. I think a few of you could probably do with these. Really lift your social life, especially the top pink and black ones, the polka dot ones, but very important Saturday Night Lashes. You don't want to go out without these. But this is the result of what we have going here. A magazine that is highly sexualized, telling girls, you know, you're only good for a guy. And you need all this equipment and all these good handbags and the right shoes. And this is a book that I picked up a few years ago and read called Oral Sex, The New Goodnight Kiss. not nice bedtime reading. Got it from Dr. Phil, actually. Saw it on a show. But this is now what's going on with our young girls. That because they're so desperate for the latest shoes and whatever that they see in Cosmo, they go to a mall, they meet up with the guys, go into the toilets, give him a blowjob, whatever he needs, and he gives them the money and she goes and buys her Saturday night lashes. That's what's now happening. And Lauren in the book, who's 15 years of age, she says, I can work at KFC and make $100 a week, or I can make $400 a night for sex. Of course, which one are you going to choose? The author of this book, she writes, what compelled me to write this book was the realization that this is rapidly becoming a middle class problem. 22% of youth involved in prostitution were seeking to earn money, not for survival, but to purchase luxury items such as nice clothes, jewelry, and electronic gear. When a 12 or 13 year old is happy to trade sex for a new sweater or a CD, it speaks to the value in our culture that we place on material goods to the devaluing of sexual intimacy. And so, you know, you can see what our culture has done to something which God has created so amazing and so beautiful, and this is where we end up in the toilets at the shopping mall. And it's an American book, but I guarantee you we have the same issues here in Australia. And I remember a girl that was a part of our group, she happily declared to us that she was known in the school as the girl who gives the best blowjob. She was in a school of 2,000 people and very happy to declare that. And when you read Cosmo, what do you think is the sealed section all about? How to give a guy a good blowjob. So that's what 83% of our nation are reading, 14 to 35. So, and they're the ones who are influencing, they're the ones who are taking responsibility for our daughters. Not the church. It's the media, and they have a plan on how to suck the life out of them. They couldn't give hoot about their life. They just want to suck all the money they can and influence their life. And obviously, there's a devil who wants to kill and destroy as well. I always thought these were the oppressed women of the world, and it would be fairly oppressive, but I've since learnt that this is equally a sign of oppression. Not that necessarily if you wear a bikini, you're oppressed. But see how the enemy works in two extremes. One culture is totally covered up, and the other culture is totally uncovered. And that's our culture, because the desire to be thin and sexy and beautiful is what is oppressing our girls. That is why we now have the most depressed and insecure generation of girls. Why so many girls are eating disorders. Why they're all wanting plastic surgery. My friend Laura from the Philippines, we're talking about this yesterday. In the Philippines, because every girl wants to be white because it's not pretty to be dark, you can actually get injections to make your skin lighter. So there's something for everybody, isn't it? The mind boggles. So here we have here, because I go into the schools a lot, I get the opportunity to survey girls. So I thought I'm actually going to ask them what they think of these pictures. So this is a advertisement of swimmers in Cosmo, because we all go and stand down at the beach like that, don't we? Such a natural looking view. And for like two little pieces of material, it's like, you know, $300 or something ridiculous, not quite that much. But so I asked a bunch of girls, how does this picture make you feel when you look at it? And 28 girls said, I feel ugly. 8 said, I need to be like her. 10 said, I feel fat. 4 said, I feel gross. 1 girl said, I'm not good enough. Another girl said, it makes me feel disgusting. And there's another bunch, other whole bunch of comments that they've given there as well. This one here, this is Britney Spears, believe it or not, with all her plastic. 20 girls said, I feel fat. 6 girls said, I feel dirty. 24 said, yuck. 1 girl said, I'm too skinny and I want boobs like her. That was me. Another girl said, I need to work harder on my looks. Now, there were 3 girls who said, I feel good about myself because I know they're fake. That's 3 in amongst 100 girls, but isn't it amazing that the world's number one selling magazine leaves our girls feeling dirty, yuck, fat, disgusting, I need to work harder, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough. So what do? Eating disorders, you know, Botox, all those things, excessive exercise. Somebody needs to hold these magazines accountable to what they're doing to our daughters. And I don't know how you do that, because they're multi-dollar businesses. But this was one thought that I had. I was buying petrol last year, and you know when you stand there and you're buying petrol and they have these warning signs on the smoking packs? And, you know, I do take a lot of heart from the anti-smoking people because they've able... Hey, you can't even smoke in a bar anymore. Look what they've done in about 50 or 60 years to turn around these laws. And so I thought maybe we could stick this on the front cover of Cosmo. Warning, reading popular magazines may cause depression, self-harming and eating disorders, because that's exactly what they're causing. That's why we now have the most depressed and insecure generation of girls ever alive. You reckon that would work? Who said no? Okay. Look, I don't know, but something needs to happen. Antidepressants are now the number one selling medication for females in Australia. My good friend of mine, who's a psychologist in Toowoomba, above and beyond the pill, now antidepressants are the number one selling medication. So Toowoomba, we have 11,815 teenage girls, and I guess just my cry to the Christians in Toowoomba, who's going to fight for them? Whose responsibility is it? We can't leave it to the government. We can't leave it to Cosmo. Somewhere the church has got to rise up and say, enough is enough. You know, this has gone too far. Like, seriously, is what we're doing working? Is doing our nice little huddle groups inside our churches, is that really working? Or does God have something far greater for us? And I think he does. And unfortunately, because we've been so quiet and so silent for so long, we now have inherited a huge, big, fat mess, where a lot of Christians are going to have to get their hands dirty to see a big turnaround. And I know some of us would just love to be in the prayer closet and pray for revival to hit, and that would be awesome, and we need to pray our guts out, absolutely, and that's how City Women started, was on huge amounts of prayer. But at the end of the day, we need to pray and work, and pray and get out, and sacrifice, and take up our cross, and say, God, my life is here for the sake of our next generation. I threw out my chewing gum out of the window as we were coming down today. My sister has a one-year-old daughter who's called Katie. And Janelle said, Tish, think about Katie's future, as I was throwing my chewing gum. I shouldn't confess that. Doesn't it go off into the bush and melt? anyway, think of Katie is Janelle's cry. But this scripture here, Ezekiel 16:49, it says, now this was a sin of your sister Sodom. We always thought the sin of Sodom was a lot of sexual stuff, and that's why God did away with it, and that's true. But this is what Ezekiel says. She and her daughters were arrogant. They were overfed and underconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them as you have seen. I don't think we're too far away. I think the church is very overfed and underconcerned. Am I right? Or just the church in Toowoomba? But you look at things today, we have more CDs, more books, more you can download every sermon off the internet. We have all these resources and every t-shirt and thing you can buy under the sun. And yep, I sell them. But yet, we are more ineffective and apathetic than we've ever been in the history of the world. You would have to, I mean, God's doing great stuff here and there, but by and large, would you think that our churches are very comfortable? I know our church is. I know I certainly was too. And I love, once again, I got this scripture from Lisa Bevere. If you haven't read Lioness Arising, it's a great book. But Lisa Bevere, she's an international speaker, and she just wrote in her book, she just wanted to demonstrate just how overfed and underconcerned we were. And one day she put up on her Facebook, because, you know, Lisa Bevere has 40,000 friends all over the world, unlike my 300, but she just put up there one day that 50 million women are missing due to gendercide. So 50 million women have been killed just simply because they're a woman. And she said she got a few little comments and a few people, oh no, and someone's like, what's gendercide? And, you know, some of those comments. The next day she put up a question, should women preach with sleeves or sleeveless tops? And she went away to, like, do the dishes, and she came back, and World War III had broken out on her Facebook site, and women were just going off and going crazy just over whether it's sleeves or no sleeves. That's a brilliant indication of where we're at and the stupid, dumb things. Like, how many times I've grown up in church and I love church, don't get me wrong, but we can really argue over some stupid, dumb, irrelevant things. Don't you think? Well, in Toowoomba we do. I'll just take responsibility for us. But, you know, some of the things that, you know, I was speaking in New Zealand last year and, you know, it was awesome and a group of amazing women. But, you know, during morning tea, the pastor had walked into a group and overheard them talking about her. And then, you know, I went and had lunch with the pastor during, you know, lunch break. And she just said that she'd been trying to get women to reach out into her city, but no one wanted to join or anything. And that afternoon, she brought in some women who were actually working in the community, in government community organisations, but they were Christians. And we sit there and we're listening to statistics like $5.8 billion was spent in 1 year in New Zealand on domestic violence. 70,000 women in 1 year accessed a shelter to escape a violent relationship. You know, these type of statistics, and you think, what the heck are we doing? We are so shallow-minded. We are so focused on whether we have orange flowers or pink flowers. You know, I have a saying at City Women, we're in a battle, we don't need decorations, you know, like for breakfast we're just having easy muffin and coffee. We're luckily we've got a few other people who are very passionate about decorations who do make it, otherwise it'd all be very boring. But you know, seriously ladies, God forgive us, you know. And it was great because after those youth workers left, we just got on our faces and cried and repented. And I just went back a month ago to that same place in New Zealand. These women have actually started stuff, which is just amazing. They've launched Women of Whanganui. That's where they're from. So we're overfed, under-concerned. So just a little bit of my story before I get into the good news. But I had a bit of a wake-up call because, yeah, I grew up in my middle-class church, which my dad started 38 years ago in Toowoomba. I went to Toowoomba Christian College, a Christian school. I went to youth group on Saturday. When I graduated from school, I went to Fiji and did Youth with a Mission for a few months. And then I came back to Toowoomba and worked as my dad's secretary. And then I decided at 22 that I'd go to America and study in Bible college. And I went over there for 3 years. And then I was trying to escape Toowoomba, but then God brought me back to Toowoomba. And I started working as the youth pastor at our church, looking after awesome young people from Christian families who all went to a Christian school. And Christian kids need looking after. But I grew up in this huge, big, fat Christian bubble, which I'm thankful for because it gave me a great foundation. But I look back and think I got through the first 25 years of my life without having to really do outreach somehow. Have anyone seen those ads, Barbara Lives in Bank World? Yes, well, I lived in church world, which I think, you know, most of us do live in church world, to be honest. So I came back to Australia and I was working with the kids in our youth group, awesome young kids, and it was after about a year that a lady came up to me. Now Toowoomba has, the churches do a lot of great combined stuff together. The pastors have been praying together for about 30 years, which is just amazing, laid a really good foundation. And we had this female mayor for a little bit, and one of the women's groups in our city had invited this female mayor to come and speak. Not a Christian, as rough as nuts, you know, swore like a trooper. You'd think, you know, she was out of the mines or something. But they invited her to come and speak to their group, and she got up and said, "You women do great things in your church, but how about doing great things outside your church? Swear, 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 swear." You know, she gave it to them. And God, one of the women sitting there, God really spoke to her and said, "She is absolutely right. We are so busy doing great things inside our church. How about out?" So she just began to pray, and the Lord gave her a vision of us running camps for non-Christian girls. So one night when we had a combined worship service in Toowoomba, we'd never met, but she came up to me and said, "Tish, I've had a vision of us running camps for non-Christian girls." By the way, I'm Val. I'm Tish, yep. She said, "And you were in that vision." Yeah, it's a great way to get people involved. Just tell them you've had a vision from the Lord, and it's awesome. And so she said, "Look, you know, I've just got this vision of taking girls up away to the Bunya Mountains, which is about 2 hours from Toowoomba. Would you like to be involved?" And I thought, yeah, no, that'd be fine. And I knew a few other young adults from different churches. I said, "Look, I can pull together my friends." And we pulled together a team of about 12 leaders. Then we started to work with the chaplains in our high schools. We took away 25 girls up to the Bunya Mountains. And we were scared as anything because we'd all lived in church world and had our big fat bubbles and, you know, didn't know what are these girls going to bring guns on camp or what's going to happen, who knows. And we prayed and we, you know, we fundraised and did everything, and we took these girls away. And, you know, we just did a lot of pampering and bushwalking and ate, you know, so much. And we were having a great fun weekend. Then on the Saturday night of camp, a fight broke out amongst girls. They fight. They really fight. They're bitches, really. And so this fight broke out amongst the girls. A few girls upstairs. There was throwing of Coke bottles and lemonade bottles, pulling hair, scratching, screaming. And one girl just comes storming down the stairs of the cabin, walks out the back door, swearing her head off too. And I was watching a DVD with some other girls, and I was like, oh, okay. This doesn't happen on church youth group camps. What do I do now? So I went and sat with her for a while, and just finally, after about half an hour, she said, look, Tish, the girl upstairs called me a slut. And that's what my dad used to call me, and he used to sexually abuse me. And so right then I realised, okay, there's bit of pain here with these girls. And just throughout the weekend, you know, the more you talk to them, the more you realize there were issues. Another girl had seen her cousin hang himself. She'd walked into the room where he was just hanging, and just other issues. And then, you know, we brought them back from the camp and came back down on the bus, and mums were there to pick up their girls. And this girl, she's a bit larger, a bit mentally disabled, and she just said to her mum, look, oh, mum, I've had so many hugs this weekend. And her mum looked at her and said, who'd want to hug you? And, you know, I was like, okay, I've grown up in this nice city. I thought Toowoomba was beautiful. And you suddenly, my bubble was popped. And I actually went around to this girl's house a few weeks later just to say g'day. And they actually have a sign on their front door. This house is cursed. We have children. So you can just imagine the awesome environment that their children are growing up into, that they come home and see every day. And no, you know, obviously the children had some big issues as well as the parents. So after that camp, a few months later, I thought I'm just going to follow up with some girls from camp and have them over at my place for dinner. I had five girls between the ages of 12 and 14, and they came over, and we were just sitting around the table and talking about their lives, and you know, just seeing just the hurt and the pain and the anger in their lives. And I thought, oh, what is going on with these girls? And just started talking to them about forgiveness and God's forgiveness towards them, and them forgiving the people. And I said, just, you know, I gave them all a sheet of paper and said, why don't you just write down all the things that people have done to you, why you might need to forgive them. And so they did. I love non-Christian girls. You get everything, and they're not trying to hide anything. And and then we came back and we're just sharing, and we got to the fifth girl, and she said, Tish, she said, we've all been sexually abused. We need help. And it was like the voice of God just coming out of heaven saying, will somebody help these girls? Will the church in Toowoomba stop dilly-dallying and playing nice little, I was going to say coffees and desserts, but that's what we're doing. tea parties. We do coffees and desserts too. It's very good. But will we just stop playing games and stop mucking around? Well, you know, there's a cry in your city. There's a cry that's coming out of the hearts of the girls. And we were just so busy, you know, I was so busy inside my church bubble that I could never hear it. Not until God popped it and I was sent out there. And, you know, from that point on, I knew that, yeah, things were going to have to change big time in what I was doing and what we were doing as a church. But, you know, there's such a deep cry in the lives of the girls. So I met with a few other women in our city who were doing stuff to reach out, and we thought, let's work together. Every Christian ministry, we all need resources. We all need volunteers and finances. Always seems to be the three things we're lacking. Hey. As we said, let's work together, let's start City Women. And at that point, there were six ministries that came under the City Women umbrella, and we just began to gather women. I think our first meeting was probably about this size, 30 or 40 women. And we just began to tell them the stories of the pain, what's going on, and we said, here's how you can get involved. And we started a little booklet of the different ministries, what they do, how you can get involved, and who to call. And obviously things have grown remarkably since then. And we just began to mobilise women right across the churches. And somebody asked me, what churches do the women come from? And I don't even know, and I don't even care really. We're just there. You know, when there's a battle and a war going on, you don't really care if you baptise upside down or dunk or sprinkle or, you know, the main thing is, did Jesus die? You know, can we come around the cross of Jesus Christ, which makes us one, which makes all those theological things just drop away? I mean, some are important, but really we've got to get over our differences for the sake of the next generation, for the sake of our city. This was a scripture that God gave us when we began, Isaiah 32:9. It says, listen, you women who lie around in ease, listen to me, you who are so smug. In a short time, just a little more than a year, you careless ones will suddenly begin to care. Tremble, you women of ease, and throw off your complacency. Never seen this scripture on the front cover of a women's conference or on a t-shirt. Usually it's the "you are a princess," which we are, but you're a warrior as well. But you know, here in this scripture here, and the commentators say that the women in Isaiah's time, they looked around and they thought it was peacetime. And that's how we were in Toowoomba. Toowoomba's lovely, we've got flowers, we've got gardens, we've got Easterfest. And we just looked around and thought, everything's lovely, we're fine. And God said, no way, throw off your complacency, get going, I've got far greater things. And you know what the really cool thing is that God's heart for the girls and women of our city, his heart is way bigger than ours. And not long after we started City Women, we ran into an old lady in a nursing home. She's a Christian lady, and she said that over 40 years ago she was in a home group meeting, in an Anglican small group meeting, where someone prophesied in an Anglican small group meeting, so it must have been God, someone prophesied that God was going to use the churches to work together to reach out to girls, especially in our schools. That's over 40 years before I was ever born or thought of. God's heart is towards the girls. God's heart is towards the broken, towards the orphans, the widows. You know, when you read Psalms over and over and over again, that's who God says he wants to come and rescue and restore, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal those who are downtrodden, depressed. And that's our role as the church. And you might be thinking, man, I've got a lot of these issues in my life too. And yeah, we do. There's a lot of issues inside the women of the church too. And so God, help us heal. But we've seen a lot of healing come in our volunteers, our Christian women, as they've actually got out and started doing stuff. You'd be surprised. You would be so surprised what happens. So I love what Catherine Booth says from the Salvation Army. In order to see change in the future, we must disrupt the present. And so I think we need to disrupt our present, whatever, comfortableness. William Wilberforce, my calling in life is to champion the liberty of the oppressed. And we still have the oppressed are still alive as much as they were back in his day when he was fighting for the freedom of slaves. So I guess, you know, we began to think, well, what can we do in Toowoomba? I started blowing a trumpet, and just some of the things that, you know, I won't go through everything, but just some of the things that we have been able to get going and start in the last few years. The Bella magazine. So obviously when you look at Cosmo, you think we need an alternative, don't we? And it's no use saying to girls, don't read the magazines, because they will, because they love magazines, and that's a part of being a girl. So we thought, well, can we produce something different for them? So a team of about 30 young women and some older men as well, from five different churches, joined together and produced this Bella magazine, which is for sale up the back. And to me, this is not just a nice little airy-fairy magazine. This is a weapon of spiritual warfare that we want to get out there into the hands of our girls, into the schools, wherever we can. In Toowoomba, we sell it in all the news agencies. We haven't produced this specifically for Christian girls, like there's no Bible scripture readings or photos of Deborah or Esther in the middle. You know, this is a magazine that we want out there to begin a cultural revolution. And I tell you, the team who is working on this, they're going for it and they're serious. Liz in the picture up there, she's a married woman with three young kids and she has sacrificed. I have been with Liz. We started Bella 3 years ago and I've seen her sacrifice, I've seen her tears, I've seen her with, as her babies have been born, she's walking around to businesses, you know, with her babies in the capsule. I'll never forget this one meeting. We're at the university, seeing the head man in the university with the baby who was doing big poos in the middle of our meeting. Like big poos. And so, but that's just part of it. We're pioneering, you know. You just take the babies with you, if you're Liz. Not everyone can do that. But, you know, another really cool thing is that Bella has just so opened, you know, doors and opportunities into our community. A couple of years ago, I had a frantic call from a teacher at a private school in Toowoomba, well-known private school, and they said, and she said, look, Tish, our year 10 students are just having sex in the car park during lunchtime. Can you come in and speak to our girls? And she said, and do you know any guys that could come and speak to the guys? And I was like, yep, sure do. She had no idea that we're Christians. She just thinks, who's good and who's positive in the city? Oh, Bella magazine, let's call them. So we get to take in a team of girls to go and speak to the girls, and we put some great young guys to go and speak to the guys, and the church need to be offering services in which the world is going to call upon, and we haven't. We've got nothing relevant to them by and large. And so, yeah, just the opportunities. Just a couple of weeks ago, Jessica Shipper, Australian Olympic swimmer, came up to Toowoomba and did a schools tour just promoting Bella. and just a great young role model she is. And so it's just been really cool. And so please, you know, help support it. Help get it into the news agencies down here. But get subscriptions into your schools. We need to get something different into the hands of our young girls. And I've seen the way that the Queensland Education Department has changed the diet of the kids in the tuck shop from gravy cheese buns to carrot sticks or whatever they can have now, because our kids are obese, and that's important and we need to do that. But how much more in changing the diet of their soul? What about their soul, not just their body? So I love the work that they're doing. I might even just stop and show you a little clip that they made last year just to help promote Bella. Oh, there's my niece. Not Katie, another one. I've got 10 nieces and nephews.
Nurturing tomorrow's daughters is our responsibility, and I want to see a creative future for all young women. We need to be shaping their future, and this is what Bella is all about. It's about giving them confidence and giving them a voice to stand. We celebrate beauty, value and purpose because we believe this generation of young women can mobilise their intelligence and value for something great. I've never known where it goes, but I kept moving on. No, I don't want to waste more time following dead end roads. So I'll find a way, I'll make my own. At Bella, we want to create something that's really relevant, something that has real impact in the marketplace. To show them was meant to be, and now I'm 25 years old and I'm losing hope, but I'll never lose my faith. Yeah, I will never give up on my dreams. It's always been a long dark road that I've been wandering on. I've never known where it goes, but I kept to give girls the opportunity to find out what they're really gifted at. It's more than just a magazine. It's a cultural revolution.
Fight for your daughter!
The really cool thing too is seeing our young Christian women using the gifts that God's given them and having an outlet to use the creativity, because sometimes you're very limited in what you can do using your gifts inside the church. And I strongly believe that our gifts were actually meant for outside the church. Church is just the housekeeping, it's just the celebration, but our gifts are meant to be used in the community to make a difference and to stir people that way. So Shine is another program that we've been running for over 9 years in Toowoomba with over 3,000 girls who have gone through that course, a course that, and I know it's everywhere, Shine, it comes out of Hillsong. And once again, we started 9 years ago in one school, and we're now in 27 schools. And I only went to two schools saying, would you like this program? The other 25 have come chasing me. So once again, when you offer something and word spreads and you're offering free people to come in and teach your girls, and just an amazing opportunity. My sister Janelle has been really involved in coordinating and doing a great job there with our volunteers and doing it together as churches rather than having 17 different churches. It's just so much more powerful in making sure it's done properly and that our people are trained and really respect the schools and don't stuff the schools around is so important. So Shine is just, I guess, our in. You know, it's our foot in the door. You don't preach or you can't share about God, but we're teaching girls, obviously, biblical values on who they are as young girls. Then about 3-4 years ago, I thought, oh, I want to do more with the girls. So I started a youth group for non-Christian girls. We run this once a month up at Brand Central, our local shopping centre. They've got a community room, probably a bit smaller than this. And we get anywhere between 80 to 140 girls. So we go into Shine, we run our classes, and then we advertise, come to Bella Chicks. And that's just another great opportunity to offer to the girls a fun, positive night. I just want to get them out of home, away from movies and Facebook for a night, and just have fun being girls. And a lot of what we do is so dorky and silly, and we don't have flashing lights and cool bands, and you know, we're just a lot of weird people who just want to love the girls, and they keep coming back again and again. And so I think when you look at doing stuff in the community, it's got to be simple and sustainable. Because sometimes we try and do big stuff that costs a lot of money, that uses all our time and effort, and everybody is zonked out, and you don't want to keep doing it. So simple and sustainable and showing love and giving what girls really want is so important. There's a night when we were squashed into the room. And then 10 years ago when Val came to me and said, I've had a vision from the Lord about the camps, I thought I'd just be doing a one-off camp. But this year we celebrate 10 years of Girls Getaway Camps. Over 700 girls, 30-something camps later of taking girls away, and has it been an amazing journey for us all. And once again, we just do it locally in Toowoomba now. We used to take them to the mountains, but that was not sustainable. So we do it locally at a Christian school. We sleep on the floor, we eat in the home ec room, we shower in the gym, we charge the girls $20, we run a camp every term. With 25 totally different girls, but it works and it's great, and we do a lot of simple stuff. But one of the profound things we do on camp and that God's really helped us with is just involve men. Because I was thinking, how do we, you know, a lot of girls' pain and issues in their life are because of men, whether it's because of the sexual abuse or the absent father or the ding-a-ling boyfriend or whatever it is, you know, a lot of their pain comes from the hands of men. And we were just really asking God, how can we heal these wounds? What can we do? And one of the things we started doing on camp was having one of our leaders just share on the Saturday night. We make the room all nice and candles and girly, and we set up the atmosphere. But one of our leaders just shares about her testimony of her dad walking out on her and the impact that that happened on her life. Obviously was huge. But then, you know, the help that God's given her and the healing, the journey that she's been on. And after she's shared, my dad or another pastor just gets up and just apologises to the girls on behalf of men who have caused pain in your life. And he does that in 2 minutes and walks out the room. And we're left there with a room full of bawling girls. Girls between the ages of 11 and 16, just bawling. And, you know, us leaders just begin to move through, and they don't understand repentance or anything, but we just start praying over them and speaking God's blessing and healing, and we just sit there and listen to their stories. We're usually there for the next hour with tissues. I cry, they cry, everyone's crying, but it just unlocks something in their life, and you just hear, you know, the hurt. I mean, one girl was just bawling her eyes out because a guy in her class called her a fat, ugly bitch last year, and that, you know, the pain. She still had a dad at home, but the pain of that, you know, was just so real. And so then we give the girls an opportunity to write out their pain on a piece of paper. And we used to take them outside and tie their pain to some healing balloons and release it to Jesus. But some wrote so many pages of pain and their balloons would just go, bonk. And so you'd be like, let's send the balloons to Jesus. And they'd go, rrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr know. And it's so beautiful, you're with these non-Christian girls, many of them never been to church, and you're standing around their fire and they're just like, God, I give you my pain. I give you my pain. You know, and then they pray. They're so cute, just listening to these girls pray. Can I pray? I want to pray. I'm next, you know. And they're just nothing religious about it. And we always give them an opportunity to receive Jesus. And the second day of camp, we bring in usually about 10, 12 grandpas that we know well. We haven't grabbed them off Facebook or off the side of the road, but men that we know, trust, and you know, once again, they're just dorky. They're in their cardigans. They're bald. You know, they're 70, 80 years old. But during the week before camp, we've given them two or three names of girls who are coming on the camp, and we say, can you just pray for this girl and come? They come to camp on the Sunday morning. We sit around in a circle, and they'll say, one grandpa will just say, I've got Susie, and she'll say, that's me. And he'll just look at her and begin to speak a word of blessing. This is what your name means. This is who God's created you to be. And the power of that in a girl's life is incredible, and I'm always amazed that every camp, I always ask the girls, what was your favorite session? and they just say the Father's blessing. Why? Out of all the fun, crazy stuff, you know, we take them to a chocolate cottage and we roll down the hill, but they like sitting around a circle with old men in cardigans because they've never heard a man speak positive words and the power of that in their life. My dad's usually involved in this as well, and one girl said to me, I want to have your dad instead of my crappy dad. And so, you know, and the men actually write it out on a, you can see that guy with an envelope, but they usually write it out and give it to the girl. And we had a camp a few weeks ago, and I was picking up a girl on camp the week after, and I said, so what was your favourite thing about camp? And she said, I framed the letter. That's all she said. I framed the letter. I framed the letter. We've got a frame. And it's in, he put it on pink paper. That's my favourite colour. How did he know I'm obsessed with pink? You know, but here's this girl who had actually been, well, it's tragic. She'd actually been kicked out of home by her father. She was living with her sister and her family. But since camp, she's had a big fight with them. She ran down the road to the closest BP service station, met a guy and hopped in his car, and we haven't seen her since. Called the police, and so, you know, I mean, it's heartbreaking. The work is heartbreaking. But to me, the option of doing nothing is not an option, you know, and I could think this is just too damn hard and give up, you know. And all our leaders could, and we, you know, it's a battle. It's a battle. Someone asked me, how's the work in Toowoomba going? It's great, but it's a battle. It's just damn hard work, and it's a battle with our leaders too, and we're all under attack, and you've got to pray and be on guard. You know, we're not in an afternoon athletic picnic. We're in a life of battle and death to the end. And so, you know, this is just so powerful. I'm going to invite Julia up. We're almost finished, but come on, Julia, just briefly, because a big part of what we do is releasing women into their gifts and their abilities. And so we've been running the girls' camps for 10 years, and a couple of years ago we thought, man, we need to start reaching the mums. And so Julia is a part of a team of about 30 women as well from different churches who run camps for mums. They do coffee nights, cooking lessons, craft lessons. They do stuff on forgiveness, amazing. And so Julia is just going to tell you what's happened in her life since she's been involved.
Thanks, Tish. Yes, well, it's to encourage you all to know that God has got a plan and a purpose for each one of you. I have to go back a bit. When I was young, I was really quite naughty. And when I was at school, I was always playing up and being a silly nonsense person. And, you know, some teachers would laugh, and that made me worse, of course. And, you know, I was always doing the silly stuff, trying to make people laugh. That probably came out of a lot of hurt or something. But anyway, there was something in me that wanted to do that, wanted to be a fun person and make people laugh. But anyway, as I grew older and realised that people sort of really didn't appreciate this, because sometimes the humour was a bit unkind, you know, when you tease people or you say nasty things to them, so it really wasn't very good. So I sort of put it to one side, grew up and did all the stuff that you're supposed to do, and came to Australia and found the Lord, which was wonderful. And then it was on then, because I thought, well, Christians have to be serious, don't they? Christians don't do fun stuff, do they? And to be perfectly honest, nobody told me this. I just assumed this was so for myself. I must be a serious person and certainly not do any silly nonsense stuff. But deep inside me, you see, God had put this silly stuff inside me. He really had, because when I got involved with serious fun, suddenly there was an opportunity to do the silly stuff. So myself and a few other ladies, our responsibility, which is a huge one, is to get people laughing before we hit them with the good stuff. But yeah, so I have really... God has taken me on a journey in lots of ways, but this particular one, he has released me to, in fact, even write little skits and do all that sort of stuff. And I mean, I'm no chicken, am I? You know, it's been a long while coming, but boy, am I enjoying it. I am really, really enjoying doing the silly stuff, because it is silly. But the joy, you see, most of these women that we minister to, they've never been kids. They've never had fun. They've never known what fun is. And if you play silly kids games with them, they think it's wonderful. And so, yeah, so that's what I do. That's what I enjoy. And I hope to keep doing it for many, many years to come. So if you have got something inside you that's been pushed down, you may not be doing these stuff, but whatever it is that God is speaking to you about, get and do it, because it really is worth it. And like Tish says, if we don't do it, who's going to?
That's what I'm really passionate about, because I think we've been limited in the ministry of, yes, maybe serving tea and coffee and doing creche. But God has so much more for us in the church, and so much creativity that he wants to break out. And he wants to use you just as you are. You don't have to try and be like anyone else. And so that's a big part of what we're doing in City Women, is finding what women are passionate about and what areas they fit into and what God has for them. So this is some of their fun dancing that they do on camps. But I'm just going to skip here. Lastly, you'll have to buy the book and read about all the ministries, but I love this one too. Another lady who, in her 60s, is she, Roz? Sat in church, in a Presbyterian church, all her life, and where hers was quite a traditional one where women couldn't do too much but serve the coffee. And she was just bored out of her brains. And in her 60s, we had our first brothel open up in Toowoomba, and I knew that Roz had a heart for the prostitutes. And I said, Roz, why don't you gather together a few women and start reaching these prostitutes? So she did. She, for 2 years, Roz and a few other women have been faithfully going to the brothel, taking gifts, just delivering them, just loving them, building relationships with the managers. I mean, crazy conversations. But Roz has become alive, because suddenly she's found, you know, what her heart was really made for, and her gifts and abilities. I mean, she walks up there sometimes with these gifts, and the manager says, oh, can you come in? We're really busy. Just come and help make the beds and arrange the flowers. And, you know, it's really weird. Here's this old 60-year-old grandma, but she doesn't care. Hey, God gets it in, because that's just who she is, and that's what she's passionate about, and it just exudes. And so she's just been doing it faithfully for 2 years, and you think, oh, is there any use in doing that? But at the end of last year, we had a really cool story where one of our women from City Women was sitting in the hairdresser, talking to the hairdresser, as you do, about City Women and all the stuff that we do, and yet we reach out to mums and in the schools, and then we've got this team that goes into the brothel. And the hairdresser said, hang on, I had a prostitute in here last week who said she's left the brothel because of the nice women who were delivering gifts. And so that's the faithfulness of teams who are just going for 2 years. This woman who suddenly found what she's passionate about, you know, is a different woman to what I knew 10 years ago. And, you know, if you only make a difference. But God didn't have to let us know about that, but he did, which is so cool. So my call to you ladies is that we need women of courage. It says, courage is, I know it can't possibly work, but I want to do it anyway. And that's a little bit of our rebelliousness. But, you know, maybe you might look and see, man, the issues in our city, man, they're hopeless, it's impossible. But I hope that the faith and the tenacity that God has put in us says, I want to do it anyway, and I want to step out anyway. And I probably think that we've been guilty of breeding nice women in the church for too long. Don't you think that we've got a bunch of nice women? And when you read the Bible, there's nothing nice about the women in the Bible. My favorite character is Jael in the book of Judges, who invited the enemy into her tent. She gave him a glass of milk, put him to bed, and then drove a tent peg through his head. They're the type of women that I think we need in the church again, don't you think? Women with a bit of guts. I mean, you know, women are amazing. We're pioneers. When you look back in history, women have changed the course of history. But now we've bred a generation of nice ladies in church. So God, I pray that you would put new courage, new boldness in these ladies. I thank you that they've come here tonight, that they want something more. I pray that you would speak to them, that you would show them, God, what is it that you have for them? I thank you that they are desiring to reach out, and probably already are in many ways. But God, I pray that you just put a new tenacity, a new passion in their hearts. God, let your spirit just fall afresh on them. Give them your visions and your strategies, I pray in Jesus' name. Don't allow us just to sit comfortably or to think our time is up. But God, may we rise up as women of passion, Lord, together across this nation, Lord, to fight for our daughters, that we won't sit back, Lord, just allowing, Lord, the media to be the ones who bring them up. But God, that we will take responsibility and that we will do what it takes to make a difference, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much more. thank you. I did forget to show you one really cool thing. We've got something, one of our ministries, which is really cool, is called You in the Loo. We want to get girls wherever they are, even when they're in the loo. So one of our young women had an idea to create these frames that go on the back of the toilet doors with positive messages, so when girls are sitting there, they are getting something positive as well. So we're not going to let any space in Toowoomba escape our girls, which is really important. So there's so much. Buy the book, read it all. But were there any questions or any thoughts? Who's still awake? No? That's okay. It's always a question. Yeah. So we charge $6. So they've worked really hard. I mean, we've had a backing of a church and a couple of businessmen, but now we've got to the point where we've got good sponsorship that pays for each edition. But our finances, we had something happen right at the beginning where a group of elderly ladies, in their 60s and 70s from a particular church thought, what can I do for City Women? I'm too old to go on a camp and I don't feel like I can do this. Let's do a recipe book. And I was like, okay, that's new. Okay, good one. And anyway, God bless them. We call them the Chookbook Cooks, and they were so tenacious, and they put together this recipe book, and they made it beautiful, and then they got it sold in every coffee shop in Toowoomba. And they raised $40,000. So that really got us, so I'm never going to be cynical about a cook. It was a slice cookbook as well, would you believe? A slice cookbook. I thought you'd just get recipes off the internet these days, but... So every time when I doubt, oh, is God, am I doing the right thing? I just think of the cookbook. Yeah. So, but every ministry is responsible for raising their own funds. So it just depends. Like Shine, we've got funding for that. It just depends. And some don't need much finances and others do. So God provides amazingly. I mean, we've just opened a girls' home this year, and yeah, it's been amazing the way God has provided. We just got $10,000 from Westpac 2 weeks ago, and they said they'll make us their fundraising project for the year. So, you know, like, it's just step out, ladies. Like, don't, this is the problem, because we never thought about it. We just stepped out, but now everyone wants to know. We want to have the manual and whatever, and we're happy to help and encourage, but just say yes to God and step out. I mean, I could never have thought or imagined where we would be today, you know, saying yes to Val 10 years ago. So you just say yes to God and hold on. Nobody's going to ask who's reaching the guys. Good. Get asked that question.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Well, if you've got any more questions you'd like to ask Tish personally, I'm sure she'll be hanging around for a little while. But yeah, thank you all for coming, and please help yourself to any more tea or coffee and stay around for a bit of a chat. And I've heard your talk before, but again, it stirs us up, and I think it's God stirring us up, not me or you. Or yeah, thanks.